Amen. We're going to be in two different places this morning. Normally, we're in 1 Corinthians as we teach through the New Testament on Sunday mornings. But we're going to be, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 just for a couple of minutes. And then we're going to be in Luke 10 as we close the service. So just kind of bear with me as we're going to go through many different scriptures this morning. But, you know, on this Mother's Day 2018, I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, what do you really want me to say to, in the 21st century, with all the things that are really going on in our nation around the world, what do you want me to say to women and moms in particular? And so, you know, I felt in my heart that the greatest thing, the most important thing that I can say to every woman, or literally every mother this morning, future mothers, divorced mothers with children, maybe you're never even married and you're a mother, and there you're single with a mother, whatever, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, or maybe you work outside the home. You know, the greatest thing is I can talk to you about this morning has absolutely, it has everything to do with your life, your children, your husband, all that, your home, but it has absolutely nothing to do about that, okay? Meaning it has absolutely nothing to do with the raising of your children. I'm not going to address that this morning. In other words, I'm not going to be saying, you know, you need to be a stay-at-home mother. No, you need to be a career woman outside the home. Or do you homeschool your kids, public school your kids, or do you put them in reform school? I'm not going to in any way. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not even really going to address, maybe just for a second, on how to, well, maybe lovingly discipline your children or teach your children's God's way. However, you know, the greatest thing that I can tell every woman, and I'm speaking primarily, men, I'm not leaving you out, or the rest of you grandparents, whatever, I'm talking to moms, I'm talking to women. The greatest thing that I can tell you on this Mother's Day, ladies, listen to me, is to always find your identity in Christ Jesus, the Lord, for yourself. In other words, your role doesn't really define you. Yes, you're a mother, okay, but that is a God-given, supernatural, wonderful position. Amen? That's a divine calling and a gift from the living God. So it doesn't really matter, you know, this morning, you know, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Well, that doesn't define who you are. I work outside the home. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't define who you are. You always must find your identity in Jesus Christ first. Not even your identity in your better half, and you're the better half, he's not, okay? No, listen. Your self-worth, if we could use that word, or the God esteem in you, is predicated upon one thing. And that is you identifying with the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and absolutely no one else. Now listen carefully to about what I'm about to say. Please, ladies, do not respond when asked, what do you do? What do you do? In other words, I'm just a mother, or I'm just a wife. I pray that you don't do that. I'm just a mom. I'm just a wife. May I tell you this morning that you are more than just a mother, and you are more than just a wife. Yes, be the best wife that you can be. Like I said a moment ago, it is a gift from God for you and a high calling from God. But listen, don't find your identity in motherhood. Don't misconstrue what I just said. It's important what you do, vitally important to the family. But don't find your identity there. But know, find, trust in, and believe who you are in Christ Jesus. Then you'll be a great mother. Then you'll be a great wife. Then you'll be great in all the things that God's called you to do. Amen? The suntan light just came on. Did you see that? I'll never see out of my right eye again. Whew, I'm telling you. Listen now. Whew, they're doing that to me on purpose. You're not just a mother. Amen? Say that with me. You're just not a mother. No, you're much more than a mother. Do you know? Listen to me. There's your role. I am a mom, a wife, or whatever you want. But listen, you have something else. You have an incredible, supernatural perfect gift from God that comes down from heaven. Amen? Now, you can't find it on earth. It only comes from God. You have a gift, another gift besides what you're doing. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one, that means moms, dads, every believer, has received, not earned, not learned, has received a gift, meaning a spiritual gift, minister, or literally use it, one to another, as good stewards. Remember, a steward is not the owner. You just manage that gift that God has given to you, and you will be accountable for it. It says, and be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now listen, moms, don't waste your gift. Yeah, but Bill, I'm a mom. You don't know what that, yeah, I know what it takes. I watch what it takes, you know. But no, I understand. But don't waste your gift throughout your life. Do you understand? You have a gift and you have a calling from God. See, you're not just a mother. You're more than a mother. The Bible says that you are an ambassador of Christ. The Bible says that you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says that you are a fisher of people, that you're a soul winner. Amen? Much more than, I'm just a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a career. No. Much more than that. And see, what you say, well, Bill, that's really my husband's calling. Or no, it's not. It's everyone's calling. Amen? What would we do without women in the church? Dear God, go over to the kids' church right now. How many men are over there? The women step up and do the job when really it should be equal. Amen? How about Phoebe? Take Phoebe. What an incredible woman from God. We find her in the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16, verse 1. Let me read it to you, what Paul said. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, meaning our sister in the Lord. Listen to what he says. Who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. That's that seaport, remember, near Corinth. Who is a servant? That word is diakonos. Was she a deaconess in the church? Probably. She was a great leader, a servant of the Lord. And listen, you know what? That's all we know about her. Her name is a Gentile name. I don't know that she was Jewish or not, but I know this. She was a servant. She used her gifting. And in that one word, servant, I'll tell you, that's a person who washes, like Jesus did, the feet of other people. A servant. And in that one word, there are 1,000 acts of love, 1,000 acts of kindness, 1,000 acts of goodness to others. You know what the name Phoebe means? It means radiant. It means light. It means brightness. Wherever she went, she lit up other people's life. Loved one, I'm going to ask you a question. Women, moms, do you think that maybe, I'm sure she had a husband. We're not told, but I'm sure she is, and children. Do you think she had a time constraint in her life like you do? Don't be religious like the first service. I told the first service, you're my special service. But you're always honest. Amen? Do you think she had problems? Yes, of course she did. But you know what she did? She made time to serve the Lord. She made time. She wasn't a spectator. She was a participator in the things of God. Let me continue what Paul writes. He says, listen, you receive her, meaning those in Rome, you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. You assist Phoebe in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. He says, I'm personally indebted to her as well. Listen, loved one, Phoebe was a woman just like you, with all the responsibilities of life just like you. But you know what she did? You know what Paul did for her? He looked at her and said, this is a woman that I can trust. You know what she did. Paul, when he finished writing the 16 chapters of the book of Romans, the greatest book in the Bible, incredible. The Magna Carta of the New Testament, it's been called. He placed it into her hands and said, Phoebe, take this to the church at Rome. He didn't give it to Timothy. He didn't give it to Silas. He didn't give it to Apollos. He gave it to a woman that who was a servant, a woman that probably, again, had children, time constraints, and all the rest of it, loved one. Listen, Those are the kind of women that are needed right now in the 21st century church, that rise up with all their kids and, yes, their husband, all the rest of it, but they take a leadership role. Amen? There are women that can be trusted. Now listen, you're just not a mother. You are more than a mother. Go study out the great women, or just all the women of the Bible. Take Deborah. What did Deborah do? She was a judge, a deliverer. Judges, read Judges 4 and 5 later when you have time. She delivered the entire nation of Israel. What a brave, incredible woman. You go to Judges 5 and read there the song of Deborah and what she did. And when you get to verse 5 of Judges 5, 7 rather, you know what you're going to find? She says, she calls herself, "I am the mother of Israel." And the Holy Spirit recorded that so you could read it. Go study out the life of Esther. And whenever there Haman and all the rest, they wanted to genocide and kill all of the Jews. She rescued the entire nation. No, listen, you're not just a mother. You are more than a mother. And be careful with the way you label yourself and place identity upon yourself. Listen, you should walk around in your household, and I say this truthfully, you should label yourself salt. Amen? No, I'm serious. Listen, your child needs to know, the one that you nurture, the one that you care for, or the ones that are grown up, or maybe they've already left home. You know what they need to know? You are salt. Salt of the earth. I raised you, and Jesus called me the salt of the earth. You better behave, buddy. What did Jesus say? John, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. You go back and study the salt of the earth during Jesus' time when he preached that Sermon on the Mount. You'll find out that salt, man, it was a valuable, valuable resource. You are a very valuable resource, not only to your family, not only to your children, not only to your husband and your home, but you're an asset to the entire world. Why? You are the salt of the world. You know what salt does? You know what a salty mother does? You change things. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, have you ever oversalted the eggs? Well, can you unsalt them? No, once it's done, man, it's done. Salt changes everything it touches. You be the salt. That's who you are. That's your label. That's your identity. Not only that, you know, salt does something else. It preserves. It permeates. You take meat and you salt it down. It preserves. It keeps it from rotting. The little child, the older child, the teen, whatever teens, if you're here with your mother, listen to me. You know what your mother's keeping you from doing? Rotting. Corrupting yourself in this filthy, vile world that we live in. That's what a mother who labels herself as the salt of the earth does and is. Amen? That's who you are. You have to be so careful today not to get lost in something that where Jesus doesn't want you to be lost. Not only that, you know what? Your kid needs to know that you need to label yourself as light. What did Jesus tell us? He told us in the gospel there in Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world." He looked out, when he preached that message, he looked out over people that were poor, that were farmers, that were peasants. They didn't have any money. He didn't just say to the men. He said to everyone, "You are the light of the world," meaning those who trust upon him. He goes on and he says, listen, he says, "A city that's on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do the light of the lamp, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but no, they put it on a lampstand. Gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, mothers, so shine before men," and here's why, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Women, listen to me. You are God's light. You are God's lamp. Label yourself as what, call yourself what God calls you. Amen? Now, if you want to, turn with me to Deuteronomy there in the Old Testament, and I want you to look at chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want you to drop down to verse 7, Deuteronomy 6:7, This is when, you remember, the second generation. This is Moses' farewell address. He's telling the second generation, the first generation died in the wilderness. He's preparing them to enter into the promised land that God's giving them, that Joshua will eventually take them into. And so he makes a command here in verse 7 to the moms and to the dads, to all the parents. Look what he says, and I'm speaking to mothers now. It means fathers also, but that first word is you, it's plural. It says, you, meaning moms, you shall teach them, meaning your children, teach them the word of God. Look how to do it. Diligently to your children. They'll talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets unto your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house, the word of God, in other words, on your gates. Now, moms, listen, you know what that says? You need to teach your children diligently. We just read that. You need to teach them repeatedly. It says day and night. You need to teach them naturally when you're sitting down, when you're rising up, when you're walking, talking, whatever you do, when you tuck them into bed at night. You're always teaching them. And it all takes place, of course, in the home. But listen very carefully now. Before Moses gave the commandment in verse 7 through 9, he did something else. In other words, before he gave the command how to teach your children, he gave a commandment to every mother and every father. Look at it. It's found there in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," and look what it says, "and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and these words which I command you today shall be in your" what? In your heart. Listen, before you ever instruct a child, before you ever raise him, what did God say you had to do? He says, listen, I'm your priority. I'm your identification. You're to love me with everything that you have, your entire being. That's called the great commandment. Jesus quoted the same thing in Matthew's gospel, 23:37, I believe it is, when the lawyer came to him and said, "Lord, out of all the commandments, which is really the greatest? Out of all 613 commandments," he said, "and you shall love the Lord thy God." Remember? All your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Upon these all hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if you miss this one, everything else is going to fall apart in your life. That's exactly what you have to do. You see, God says, no, I have to be the one that you look to. I'm the one that you have to love. If you love me the right way, you'll love your children the right way. If you love me with all of your heart, you'll be into my word, and then you'll instruct your children the right way. Does that make sense? See, it's all about being in Christ. He's number one. Everything that we need to do. So listen, before women, before you were a wife, before you were a mom, you're a child of God, a child of the living God, a daughter of God, children of God. Listen, you are more than just a mother. However, if you don't know who you are, your identification, if you don't know who you are in Christ, remember what Paul writes in Philemon? He says in verse 6 of Philemon, it says this. It says that the communication, the sharing of your faith may become effectual by confessing every good thing which is in Christ Jesus, which is in you. To know who you are. To know who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing in your life. And if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not renewing your mind to the Word of God, like it says in Romans 12:2, not conforming yourself to the world, but transforming yourself, how? By the renewing of your mind, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Listen, did you know that our minds are corrupt? When we were saved, did we get a new heart? Yes. Did we become a new creation? Did we get a new mind? No. No, we didn't. That's why we have to renew it. You know, if you, like, for example, if you have an old, worn out, outdated kitchen, it's worn out. Yep. It's ugly. You hate it. You want your husband to pay to have it redone. Do it, husband. No. Now listen, you go in and you do a gut everything and you tear it all out and you do a brand new remodel and there everything is brand new, right? And you go, this is wonderful. Okay, that's what it means. Go in there and do a remodel. And the only way you can do it is let the Word of God renew your minds. Moms, listen to me now. If you don't do that and you become a mother and you have those little ones, you know what's going to happen? If you don't know God's Word, if you're not identifying yourself correctly with God's Word, I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to allow the enemy to come in and give you a brand new label. He's done it to all of us. He's going to come in and try, let me put a new identity on you. And he wants to put it right on your forehead. Failure. Failure. You're not raising your kids, right? Look how they're acting. Look what they're doing. You're failing as a wife. You're failing in everything that you're doing. And you know why he tells you that? Because he knows that you do not know the Word of God. See, the devil, he will lie to you. Why? He hates mothers. He hates mothers. He hates your knowing how to love your children. He hates knowing that how to raise them or guide them. See, listen, you're not just a mother. You are more than a mother who walks in the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? The Bible tells you, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. That's you. In other words, if you don't know God's word, Mom, if you're so busy, you just can't get into it. Listen, then how are you going to take up the shield of faith, which is going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one? See, he wants to label you as the victim. He never wants you to say, I'm the victor. He wants to say that you are failing. You know, I'm going to say something to you. Listen carefully. We live in a time when more husbands walk out on wives and more wives walk out on husbands than ever before in our history. And there you are, and Mom, you're left with those kids. And the devil says, you know what? You're nothing but a loser. Look at you. Don't you ever wear that label or identity. You need to know what God says. He says in Romans 8:37, you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter, 1, I think it is, it's in Colossians. 2:9-10, you are complete in him. That's the label you wear. You're a co-heir with Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your heart, your being is sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. Amen? That's what you need to know, and you need to know that you are secure. Colossians 3:3 says, for you have died. You died. When you came to Christ, man, listen, you died with him. When he was raised, you were raised with him. He ascended, you ascended. Now you walk in that newness of life, and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus in God, which denotes eternal security. When I look, I say, God, you're so good. Listen, don't write failure. Don't write loser. Or don't let anybody come in and say about, well, you know, we know you what you did in your past. You know, don't you hate that? You know, like, how about Rahab? You know the story of Rahab and Joshua, how she was there in Jericho and the spies crossed into the land, and they were spying out the land. Joshua sent them in there, and the soldiers, the people there, got after them. And what did Rahab do? She hid the men there at her house, covered them up. And then after the soldier, she sent them out another way. And they made a deal. They said, listen, if you're going to come in and destroy everything, I don't spare my family, because I spared you. So they made the deal, said, absolutely, put a scarlet, you know the story, a thread in your window. Now listen, do you remember what Rahab was? She was a what? She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. Men knew who she was. But you know what? She wasn't a failure. She was more than a mother. She was more than all those things. You know what happened to Rahab? She married a gentleman. His name was Salmon. And you know who Salmon was? He was one of the princes of Judah. And you know who? And you know what happened? Salmon, you know what they did? They gave birth to an incredible man, a man who was our kinsman, a type of kinsman redeemer. His name was Boaz. Remember that? And Boaz fell in love with a beautiful Moabitess. What was her name? Ruth. What a love story. And there, after Ruth, they gave birth to Obed. And who gave, and Obed and his wife gave birth to Jesse. And Jesse and his wife gave birth to the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Rahab, a failure? More than a woman. Oh, dear God. Listen, you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, you'll find her listed in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, man, don't let any label be put upon you. In, your role is one thing, but who you are is quite another. Amen? Now, with all that being said, turn with me in the Bible to the Gospel of Luke. And let's look at something together here. The Gospel of Luke. And I want you to look at verse 38 with me. Now remember, I said the greatest thing that I can tell you as a mother has absolutely nothing to do with children. I want you to keep that in your mind, okay? Now look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is our Lord and his disciples. They're coming to Jesus' favorite place to stay and his favorite friends in Bethany. It says, and it happened as they, meaning Jesus and his disciples, that they entered into a certain village, and we know again that would be Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha, look what she did, welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also, watch this now, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The word heard there means not just I heard it. It means she sat and continued to listen at length, okay? Now, listen. Mary, we know, I've told you 1,000 times over the last 25 years, but the thing is, we know that every time we find Mary, we always, in Scripture, we find her sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Always. That's where she's always at. You know, she anointed, remember, the Lord with the oil and all that, and did so with her hair, and you know, upon his feet for his burial, and so forth. Let me just give you a few of those scriptures. It says in John 11:32, Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down, here it comes, his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, that's Lazarus. She's at his feet, and Mary is sharing her heart with the Lord. And then in John 12:3, it says, and Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So now she was worshiping the Lord. In all three of the times that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, there is always a fragrance. In John 11, her brother, it was the smell of death. Here in John 10, it's going to be the smell of food. They were there to have dinner. And then, of course, in John 12, it was the spikenard or the perfume that she was anointing his body for burial. Now look at verse 40, talking to mothers. Listen carefully. But Martha was what? She was pulled this way and that way with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my lazy sister, no, I'm sorry, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Can you believe? I mean, now, you know, listen, Martha loved the Lord, but she was a little demanding. You know what I mean? She wanted to get things done. She was a very busy woman. But can you imagine someone listening? Can you imagine here is a woman, a mother, let's say, at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus, and then your sister comes along and says, get her up. She's lazy. You know what I mean? I need some help in the kitchen. Tell her to put her apron on or whatever. That's crazy, isn't it? Now listen, it says she was distracted. So obviously that meant that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That meant that she was listening, but she had to get up because she couldn't handle it because all the things that were occurring. She was being pulled in all these different directions. Moms, you know exactly what I mean. I've got to get the kids, the husband off, the kids to school, or I've got this, I've got to get them to the doctor, the dentist, or you know what, and then I've got, you know, good grief, my husband, my children, my home, my career, I have to homeschool, I have soccer on Sunday, and I missed church for 5 years, and oh God, and you know, but I'm so thankful it's Mother's Day and the wonderful present. My husband bought me a mower to mow the yard, and oh, praise God. And it's self-propelled, and, you know, I can put on my iPhone and just really get in shape. No, listen. You can be so busy. You mean well. You love the Lord. You love your family. You love your children. You work so hard. But you get so busy and so distracted. And so, where's Jesus in the picture? Amen? And you can lose sight of that. And Jesus answered and said to her, this is very tender now. The Lord is not beating Martha up. He says, Martha, Martha, you are torn apart on the inside. In other words, you're worried. You're just so worried, Martha. And you're so troubled. In other words, she's vexed and she's just agitated. And look what Jesus said. Not about a couple of things, but about many things. You see, all those distractions stole from a woman named Martha the one thing that she needed the most. And that was to sit at the feet of Jesus. Boy, that's a powerful distraction. Worry, whatever may be bothering you, the kids when they're sick and all the rest of it. Just the financial burden of living and paying bills. I understand all of those things. Listen, but you know what? She was distracted and the Lord was right there in her very midst. Jesus was in her home, loved one. I mean, right there. And you know what distractions did? Prevented Martha from sitting at the feet of Jesus, our Lord, and hearing his words. She missed out. She didn't even get a clueless to what the Lord was saying. Now look what Jesus said about the whole situation, verse 42. But one thing is needed or necessary. One thing's essential. Mary has chosen that, what? Good part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, it's one thing to be like Martha. Open up your home. Praise the Lord. She opened it to the Lord, of course. But Mary opened up her heart. There's so many things that we deem important in this life, loved one. But I'm telling you, there is really only one thing that's needed. And that one thing is needed is this. Mothers, it is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is one thing. Through motherhood, through being a wife, through what career woman, stay at home, whatever it is, you can't do without your relationship with him. It's essential. You have to have that. And if your priorities are not right, you have to make them right because, and choose the good part that'll never, ever be taken away from you. It says Mary, she made a decision. She chose. You know, just three words. Chose the good part. Mary is your silent example, ladies. That's what's going on. And you know what I've learned? That, you know, you can have a right priority, but the right priority doesn't choose you. You have to choose it. You have to make that decision. Listen, that good part, nothing is better, Jesus said. Absolutely nothing is better than what Mary chose. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she listened to what he said. You see, her soul was being fed. The Word of God, there's nothing like it. It renews us, refreshes us, guides us, leads us, helps us in all that we do. No wonder Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4 that man should not live, man, I'll say, and woman. That's a generic, by the way, mankind. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When this lighting thing is over, I'm being hypnotized. They don't know it. They're probably going, retire, retire, retire. No, no, no. Sorry. All right. Listen. No, Mary chose what she chose lasts forever. She chose the Word. You have the Word of God forever. Amen? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. It says in 1 Peter 1:25, it says, the Word of God endureth forever. Listen, she chose what endures forever. Moms, listen. All women, listen to me. Yes, be like Martha. In other words, be a servant. Serve with your hands. But be like Mary and open up your heart and love that way. You see, you can be so busy, working for Christ that you don't have time to commune with Christ. And that is wrong. If you are just busy for Jesus and you're not communing daily with the Lord, listen to me. You're going to burn out. Listen, you need God's strength to raise children. You need that. They can wear you to the ground. They can worry you to death. Your little one is, you have to take it to the hospital. They don't speak yet. They're not talking. They have a fever. I know the stress of that. I know exactly how you feel. I've been there once time before. No, listen. I know in my heart that Jesus wanted Martha to be there at his feet as well. Don't you agree? But she didn't. She was busy, but she just wasn't blessed. Actually, she was being robbed when Jesus was right there. I want you to listen to me now. Just a short message this morning, but I want you to listen to me. I prayed about Lord, because if you really know me, if you guys know, I don't normally do Mother's Day messages or Father's Day. It's not that I shouldn't, I just don't. I don't believe, it's just not, I'm not called to do that. And I've only done a few, this is probably the third one I've ever done. Third Mother's Message, 25 years. And I never do them unless the Lord speaks to my heart. Does that make sense? Because, we're here to honor you, and you should be honored, but it's just different to do all this to me. But, I was praying, and I just pray that every mom, every woman, if you'll just listen to me just for a minute, we're not told if Mary and Martha, if they had children, or if they had a husband. And, mom, listen, if you may have a great career outside of the home, praise the Lord if you do, okay? And you may be have a great career as a stay-at-home mom. Well, praise the Lord, I'm for you. And you may, and I pray you do, have a loving, godly, supportive husband. Boy, that praise God for that too. But listen, I say what I'm about to tell you with a very tender heart right now. Something that I have learned from the Lord through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's this, that life is seasonal, loved one. Life is seasonal. Do you understand me? Let me tell you what Solomon writes there in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says this. He says, oh, to everything, not some things, but to everything there is a season, meaning that there is a fixed portion of time in what we call life. And he says, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up what's planted. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to gain, a time to lose, and a time to love. Such is life, isn't it? Do we not all experience that? Yes, of course we do. We celebrate the birth of babies and weddings, and then we cry at those funerals and so forth. Listen to me now. Life is a huge word. A to B, birth to death to glory. It's a big, big, big word. And I have learned, as you have, that it is full of wonderful celebrations, but it's also full of many tears. Life is so short. 55 years ago, on this very day, Mother's Day, that's the day I lost my mother. The day that those two drunks were driving the car and they hit her, had a head-on collision. It's over just like that. Listen, I understand how short life is. You see, moms, listen, careers are wonderful, but will careers finally come to an end? Yes, marriages, thank God, to be together with someone all the days of your life. But will that marriage one day end? It does. I hope it doesn't end sooner, like divorce or whatever. But I'm talking, it comes to an end. You know, life comes to an end and we go home to be with the Lord. And children, listen, children are only at home for just a season. Except for today. They live there forever. No. Say, well, Bill, why did you say all that? I said all that because those things, marriages, careers, life, can all be taken away from us. Amen? But see, Mary chose the good part that can never, no, never, ever be taken away from her. That's why I said the most important thing that I can say to you today is not about raising your children, but knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, knowing that He loves you and that you love Him. Loved one, I began the sermon this morning with this. I said, please don't respond. Moms, listen, ladies, please don't respond when asked by others. What do you do? Oh, I'm just a mother. I'm just a mom. I'm just a wife. I say, God says, no, you are more than just a mother. You're more than just a wife. However, mothers, if you don't choose the good part, which will never, ever be taken away from you, then the next time someone asks you, what do you do? Then you better just go ahead and reply, I'm just a mom, and that's it. Father, I praise you, and I thank you for every woman listening on the radio, listening in Overflow, listening in this chapel. I thank you for them. And I pray today, this word has made them pregnant in their thinking, and that they will deliver a whole new outlook of walking with you, Jesus. That they know that they are more than just a wife, more than, Lord, just a mother. Oh God, they are your creation, fearfully, wonderfully made, used by you. Now, Lord, bless them. Bless their homes. Bless their husbands, their husband, their children, their grandchildren, whatever, bless them. May their home be filled with the high praises of God. And Lord, may this church, the mothers of this church, the women of this church, choose the good part that no one will ever take away. Father, if there's any here this morning and Jesus Christ is not their Lord, oh God, I pray now they will turn to you. Right this minute they will turn to you and say, oh Lord, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I'm not a believer, but I want to be. I want you to save me. Right there in your chair, all you have to do is just call out to Him quietly, even in your heart, and just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my marriage. Be the Lord of my motherhood. Lord, I want to choose the good part. Save me. Just tell him right now. Save me, Lord. I believe. I believe, Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen.